now I hear you. I was thinking, okay, wait a minute, what's going on here? Yeah, yeah. Wow. Let's give a round of applause for these kids who were baptized today. The future of Vista Grande Baptist Church, the future of God's church. Amen?
Amen.
In case you're wondering who this dude is, I'm D. Walker. You can call me Brother D, okay, because I'm your brother in Christ. I'm a member of this church, and I teach one of the Sunday school classes. In fact, this class is going on right now. We've been in Vista Grande for a little over 2 years. And we just want to thank God for this opportunity. And in case you think you are hearing an accent, nah, I am from the Republic of Liberia in West Africa, where my life was influenced by missionaries. Anyway, I'm going to do something today that if my homiletics and hermeneutics professors were alive, they will skin me alive. Usually, for those of you who've been listening to me, I do textual or expository sermon, right? Today, I'm going to do a little bit of topical sermon, and I'm going to run all over the place, but within the context of the book of Jeremiah. I'm tempted, very tempted, to ask you to rise, please don't. To stand, please don't. But I'm tempted to ask you to walk out with me and let's do a lap around the church. I wish I could. No, I would not. Because some of you will just look at me and say, excuse me, I'm not going anywhere. That's disobedience to the preacher. Okay? Anyway, two reasons why I would have loved to ask you to do that. One is because this is perhaps one of my last sermons, because in 2 Sundays, Pastor Josh will be here. Yeah! And that is a big deal. Finally, we have some stability. But thank God. Thanks to you, Bill, and the leadership who've been filling out this pulpit with men, I believe men of God, who brought some wonderful messages to us here. So that's one reason why I would have been tempted, I'm being tempted to ask you to take a lap. The other reason is because, who can guess? Today is my birthday. Yes. Yeah. And it is a bigger deal because I love birthdays. You know, when I think of colleagues my age who have gone to, in case you're wondering, I'm 63 today. 6'3" today. Yeah. There are many of my colleagues who have gone to be with the Lord. Why is God still allowing me to be alive? I don't know. Anyway, open your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm looking at my watch. The word of the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Drop your eyes to verse 18. And I behold, God talking to Jeremiah, as he called him, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. Let us pray. God, may your servant decrease. May you increase. Hide me behind the cross, so that you be glorified for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was laying back on the couch in my living room looking up in the ceiling, and a thought crossed my mind. What if God was going to do a research sample, okay? And he took a sample of our congregation, and out of this sample, he flashed a video with the focus, with the primary focus on projecting what each one of the sample has gone through and is going through, especially our valley experiences. What if God would flash that video of this sample population of turbulent moments that seem to shatter our resolve to follow Christ? What do you think? Oh my God, it would be quite a series of video clippings, right? The fact is, brothers and sisters, we live, once we are in these mortal bodies, we will face turbulent times. By show of hands, how many of you have never gone through hardships, difficult? No, don't show your hands. Don't show your hands. How many of you, by show of hands, were pilots or are pilots? Any pilots in the land? Whoa. Commercial? Okay. In the first service, there were four. And I said, wow. The reason why I'm going to make a statement, and as a professor, I hope you would not give me F. Anyway, I understand, I'm looking at you, Mr. Pilot, that turbulence is classified according to intensities. Yeah, I see, I got that right, 100. I got that correct. And these intensities are light, moderate, severe, and extreme. Last night, I decided to watch YouTube videos and providing us some knowledge and information on turbulence. They were interviewing one pilot, and this guy had the audacity to say, when they asked him, so how do you feel during turbulence? What I was expecting was he would say, oh, I feel confident, because I am in control and taking that stuff through the convergence of winds and all kinds of stuff happening, airflow, whatever. Yeah, you give us a lecture. But this pilot said, when I'm experiencing that, I ask, and I'm making statements and asking people to put on fasten their seatbelts, there's a fear that overcomes me. I said, say that again. Mr. Pilot, you're afraid. What do you think about me? But he demonstrated his humanity. With all of the knowledge he has, with all of the experiences, over thousands of miles flown and stuff like that, he still has that fear, because there are different intensities. I understand that the extreme intensity is hardly experienced. Well, I can tell you one thing. Even in the light classification, the light intensity, this dude, I am clenching to my seats, and the person sitting next to me, you better beware, because I'm grabbing your legs, man. A guy literally slapped my hand when I was coming from South Africa once back to the state, because the stuff was shaking. And I said, Lord, I'm coming home. It seems like despite what God does, whatever he does, our lives seem to be in constant different classification of turbulence intensities. Who here would say they've never faced difficulties in life? Who here would say they've never given up, almost given up in life? You see, the prophet Jeremiah was called to minister or serve during a turbulent time in the history of Judah. The nation of Judah was in conflict with itself. It was in conflict with its identity. And most significantly, the nation of Judah was in conflict with God, Yahweh. Can you imagine that? Jeremiah began his ministry at the age of 20 in the 13th year of Josiah, around 622 before Christ, B.C. After Josiah's death, Jeremiah experienced persecution due to the rise of an adulterous faction within Judah. Interestingly, Jeremiah experienced persecution from God-fearing elders and princes after his prophetic message against the nation. Yet, despite all of this, Jeremiah triumphed during these turbulent times until his death. If time was in our favor, I would have loved to highlight many instances in this book of turbulences that Jeremiah experienced. Not in the air, but on the ground with his own people. What are you facing today? What are the difficulties you're going through? Is it family? Is it your boss at work or your colleague? How many of you have written letters of resignation because your boss is such a goofball? But as you went to work and thought about giving that resignation, you started thinking about Uncle Bill, B-I-L-L, the bills that you have to pay. Say, well, maybe let me hang on a little bit. And then the Spirit of God talks to you, said, I am in control. Discard that resignation letter. How many of you have come to that moment? How many of you have come to that moment in your marriage? Where you say, I'm done. I'm throwing up the towel. This is too much for me. I am D-O-N-E. How many of you children, young people, feel that you know so much more than your parents? And when they're trying to guide you, you say, look, mom, dad, I'm done. I'm out of here. And literally some of you do leave the house just to return several months later and realize, uh-oh, the turbulence I thought I was faced with at home, the one I'm facing in the world is grimmer, more turbulent. In fact, the intensity is severe. How many of you? Where is God when we experience turbulence in life? God is always present. Someone said, if you feel that God is distant from you, the question is, who moved? God is always present. He never moves away from you. If you feel distance, it's because you have moved away from God. So today, I just want to give you two major points when you are faced with turbulence, how to triumph over this turbulence. One is that you must have confidence in God. You must be confident in God. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8 say, Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8 says, but blessed are those who have confidence in the Lord. That is, those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along the riverbank with the roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green. They never stop producing fruits. Brothers and sisters, when you are going through times when you think you want to give up. And I can tell you, and I can give you stories upon stories of times in my life when I wanted to give up. I remember, put your confidence in God. Why would you put your confidence in God? Because he says, let's look at verses 18 and 19. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. I love verse 19. Jeremiah, you are going to face turbulences. Jeremiah, you're going to face hard times. This is what the word says. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. Why? Because D is with you. Right? Nope. It says, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. Amen? In just those two verses, three things you see. God's promised presence, God's promised protection, and God's promised provision. His presence, his protection, and his provision. God will always be with you. God will always protect you. God will always provide for you. How many of you here, during your illnesses, during your acute sicknesses, during times of no job, during times of doubt, how many of you will come up and stand here and say, God has always been there for me. He has provided for me. He has protected me. And his presence has always been there for me. How many of you will say that? I believe all of you will say that. Habakkuk, paints a very grim picture. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 18, he says, though the fig trees do not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines. Whoa! Though the olive crops fail, and the fields produce no food. Though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Habakkuk paints a picture of total loss in an agricultural society. No crops, no livestock meant not just inconvenience. It meant devastation. Yet in the face of total collapse, the prophet makes a stunning declaration, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. You see, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Are we together? You see, I'm happy today because I'm alive to see my birthday. Huh? This morning, my daughter sent me a text and transferred some money to me. When I saw that text, I just, okay, all right. Yesterday, the librarian community met. They had a celebration for our Flag Day. Bindu, my wife, took charge and she interjected my birthday. And they did a very wonderful card with good notes and stuff. But the climax was a birthday cake. And they put some candles and they said, D, blow the candles off after the birthday song. Well, one of the sisters in the group blew the candles off for me. I said, oh, wait a minute, you're stealing my thunder. Anyway, I'm not a cake guy. So I didn't care that much. They ate the cake. I was happy. Why? Because of the circumstance, the situation. It was a celebration. I received the money. I was celebrated. I was happy. But most happiness can come to a grind, a halt, when the circumstances are not this joyful, are not this great. So joy comes from within. Joy is intrinsic. That's why when Paul was in prison, he will sing praises to the Lord. Even though he was in chains. Even though Habakkuk painted a grim picture, he says, yet will I rejoice. So what are you going through today? Will you rejoice in the Lord? Because you have confidence in him. Secondly, it's not just we have confidence in God, we must be committed to God. You see, if you are not committed to God, you will not have confidence in God. No matter what you are going through, your loyalty should be to God. Do not budge, even if your life is threatened. We should be committed to God, and I'm going to wrap up with this. Jeremiah 29. Let's turn to Jeremiah 29. Some of you have memorized this verse. Jeremiah was sending a letter to the exiles. And in verse 11, he says, for I, not Jeremiah, God says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You see, the reason why we should be committed to God, because he has a plan for each of our lives. You may not know, and I'm talking about personal plans. For I know the plans I have for you. God is sovereign. He's all-knowing. What turbulence is shaking your faith in God right now? For Judah, they were in exile, and the Lord said to them, in spite of all that you are going through, in spite of all that you've gone through, considering all that you have suffered, and considering all that you are suffering, I, Jehovah God, know the plans that I have for you. And for Judah, it was a plan for restoration. What is God's plan for you? How would you know God's plan for you? Stay in God's word. Be committed to God. And he says, plans to prosper you and to give you a future hope. You know, I know a group who have interpreted, I know a group of believers who have misinterpreted this to mean that God's plans for you is to be materially wealthy, financially great. In fact, all you need to say, all you need to do is just to say it and claim it. Is that what God is saying here? What? You don't want to say it and claim it? Financial wealth? You can get all the cars that you want. Not that you need, I say you want. You can get the kind of house that you want, not that you need. You don't want to claim it? No, that's not what God is saying here. It says, I will restore you back to your nation, to your land, because that's my plan for you. God desires our commitment to him every day. I could go on and on and on and on and talk about our commitment to God. I don't know what you're going through as we come to the end. Are you disappointed? Are you discouraged? Are you in distress because of all that you're going through? You've lost income. You've lost your spouse. You've lost your kids. You've lost. The list goes on and on. And you want to give up. No matter what class of turbulence you are facing today, God expects you and me to put our confidence in him and to be committed to him. These will shape and impact the way we respond or face life's difficulties. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. God wants us to be victorious in our Christian walk. So as we live today and face this coming week, I encourage you to spend time with God and to do two things. One, reflect on whatever experience you are having right now, turbulent experiences you are facing. And two, talk with a trusted family or friend about these two lessons. How can you put confidence in God and how can you be committed to God? How will these lessons help you to raise the biblical standards in your life, in my life? Remember that D. Walker, the pastors here, do not know your heart. Only God knows your heart. Amen? Zig Ziglar, I'm not a fan of Zig Ziglar, but he says something that I like. He says, your attitude determines your altitude. So whatever attitude you have will determine the way you face the world and put confidence and commitment to God. Go back to chapter 1. Verse 12. The Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." Brothers and sisters, some of our words are useless, but God will stay true to his word. Amen? Amen? I am watching over you to perform the word that I have altered. God's word is always true. God's word will always come to pass. So put your confidence in God. Put your confidence in God and be committed to God as you walk out of these doors today. Let us pray.